I started reading 2 Timothy and seeing all the things in 2 Timothy that had to do with enduring. Now listen to me real quick. If you read a book of the Bible and you just read it through, if you read it through word for word from beginning to end, you'll get the general sense of the book undoubtedly. But if you study the book like we talked about back, I think I taught a class here a little bit in 16, 17 about how to study the Bible and how you identify words. And I don't think I've put that one up on my website yet, but it's really interesting. If you study words, you'll find common ground from chapter to chapter to chapter. And in 2 Timothy, there's a lot said about enduring. And so I started looking into that more deeply, and I realized 2 Timothy is definitely a book that we could use that would be valuable to us if we want to endure. Now listen carefully. Perhaps we think, oh, I'm doing fine. The devil loves it when we think I'm doing fine, because the Bible says not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. That's a form of pride when we think we're doing fine. We need to define how we're doing based on what the Bible says, right? Now, God didn't call all of us to do everything, so you can't just say, well, so whatever I'm doing, that's enough. The question is, what did God call you to do, right? Amen? There's some things we're all called to do. We are all called to be born again, baptized members of a local church. Amen? We are all called to walk with God. 1 John, we're all called to spend time with the Lord in the Word of God and in prayer every day. We are all called to be a witness, to talk to folks about the Lord. And be careful. Sometimes people think, well, if I just spend 5 minutes with somebody, they can get saved. If they're ready to get saved, 5 minutes may be enough. I had a situation in Maryland where a fellow came to me and he said, I want to get saved. And so I made a lunch appointment with him. We were going to drive over to this restaurant and I was going to show him how to get saved. And so as we got in the car, I couldn't think of a better thing to do. So I began to quote the scriptures to him. And we pulled up in front of the restaurant and he prayed and got saved then. And so you can get saved that quick, but not unless you're ready. Okay. So it's not always going to be a six-minute process to see somebody get saved. But we're all called to be witnesses. Give out tracts. Be nice to people. You understand in the retail industry how much rudeness there is out there? If you've ever, those of you that work in retail or in food service, and people are rude. When you're nice to somebody, they'll think, hey, there's something different about this guy or this lady. And then you give them a tract and they go, oh, they're a Christian. Okay. Because the world has painted Christians as the ogre and the fool and the person that just wants to be a pest. The world doesn't understand what we really are. The devil doesn't want them to. So Timothy, number one on your little fill in the sheet, the blank sheet there. Timothy was written by Paul, actually by the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Bible was written by the Holy Spirit, but it was penned by Paul to Timothy in about 66 A.D. Now, that number, 66 A.D., might not mean much to you unless you understand a little bit of history. Remember this, the Lord was crucified and buried and rose again in 33, 34 A.D., right? Depends on whose calendar you use, but let's just say 30, 34, okay? So 34 plus 22, plus 32 is 66. This is about 32 years after the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ, but it is at the very end of Paul's ministry. Because you see, Paul's ministry ran from about somewhere around 40 A.D. until about 66 A.D., and that 40 is a real gray number, but we do know that he was probably martyred shortly before the second destruction of Jerusalem. And in 70 A.D., if you remember, a Roman general named Titus tore the temple to the ground in Jerusalem, and because of a rebellion that took place there. Yes, sir.
I just read today that today's the anniversary of that.
Is it really? That's fascinating. I didn't know that. And so in 70 A.D., they destroyed the temple, and the Lord prophesied that, by the way. Amen. And then in about 160 A.D., the Jews revolted again, and that time they leveled the whole city. But anyway, 66 A.D. is a year or so before Paul's death. And so 2 Timothy, Paul writing to Timothy, is called Paul's dying shout of triumph. Paul was a survivor. Amen? Paul endured. Now, you and I will never do what Paul did. But listen to me. If you do what God calls you to do, the reward's the same. Amen? Just because you didn't start 100 churches or just because you didn't see 10,000 people saved, that doesn't mean you're inferior. To whom much is given, much shall be required. So whatever God gave you as an ability, as gifts, and whatever God gave you as a task to accomplish, when you accomplish that task, your reward is also there. So you don't feel like you got to compare yourself to Paul in terms of accomplishment, but we ought to be just as faithful. Amen? You won't have to endure what Paul endured. You'll have to endure what God wants you to endure. But I'm going to tell you, the Bible's very clear about this. We all have to endure hardship. We all have to endure persecution. We all have to endure affliction. I'll talk about that in the morning message today about disciples. Disciples go through storms. The Lord literally put them in a ship and sent and went with them, by the way, out onto the ocean. And a storm came up. He led them into a storm. That fellow on the TV that says that getting saved means that you're going to have everything you want and your life's going to be a bed of roses and it's all comfort and ease and so on, he's lying to you so you'll give him some money. But that's not God's plan for us, amen? We're going to have hardship. So 2 Timothy is called Paul's dying shout of triumph. And the two things, and this is going to go back to the handout, it's the very first thing on the handout. The two things that you need to increase in order to survive are faith and strength. And I guess, honestly, faith is really the one. Faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We used to go, when I was in the Army, we used to go out on this firing range. And they had a firing range, and they had a bunker out there. I never got to go into this thing, but they had a bunker out there, and you could go inside that bunker, and they would shoot artillery rounds at you and land them right next to the bunker to give you an idea of how effective artillery is. Now, you'd be a fool to go out into the open field and have somebody shoot artillery at you. And those guys are pretty good, by the way. We used to do a thing with a 81 millimeter mortar called direct lay, where I could, if I could see you out there about 3 or 4 miles away, and a mortar, I could hit you from 3 or 4. You would never know what was coming with this thing we used to do with the mortar. So the devil knows how to find you, but when you're in the bunker, you think, "I'll go ahead, shoot at me. I'm okay." Amen. Now, I will caution you the way a pastor cautioned me. Don't challenge the devil. Leave him alone. Let God deal with all of that. But Michelle quoted the verse, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." Psalm 56:3, is that right? 56 something. And what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. If God is your bunker, what does the Bible say? He's a strong tower, same thing. Then you're safe. Amen? Amen? All right. So faith will get you through a lot. That's an understatement. Faith will get you through. You say, "Pastor, I'm afraid I won't have enough money." Faith will get you through. You say, "Pastor, I'm my health situation." Faith will get you through. I'm not telling you that God's going to give you everything right now, but the Bible does say this: "The afflictions of the righteous are many, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." Amen? All right, so faith. Now, by the way, how do we increase our faith? Two particular ideas I'm thinking of. Faith cometh by
hearing.
And hearing by the Word of God. Okay, so you increase your faith by reading the Bible. Okay, how else do you increase your faith?
Listening to the preacher.
Okay, amen. That's Bible. But there's another, exercising it. Amen? For example, I remember the first time I wrote a tithe check as an adult. Scared me to death. I don't even think about it anymore because I know God's going to provide.
Amen.
But there was a time when I thought, "Wow, I sure could use this money. I don't know what I'm going to do without it." But God said to do it. And so when you act in faith, God rewards your faith. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so faith is a key. Faith And strength really comes from faith. All right. Now we're going to begin to look at some things in 2 Timothy. But I want to just hit one more spot here before we do. Doesn't the Bible warn us of things to look out for? Amen? It's all there. In fact, anything that you need to know to live your life in a spiritual realm is in the Bible. Now, the Bible doesn't talk about chiropractors. I don't know why the illustration always comes up, but that's the one I've heard. So that doesn't mean chiropractors aren't valuable. It doesn't mean chiropractors aren't useful. But the Bible talks about spiritual things, okay? Now, the Bible does talk about health and all that sort. But the point is, the things the Bible does talk about are the things that we need to know spiritually. And, for example, the Bible warns us about false teachers. How do you know it's a false teacher? I'm sorry? Yeah, denying Christ is a big one, a big red flag. What about a false teacher that doesn't deny Christ? Are those kind out there? Okay, how do you know they're false teachers? The Bible says the Bereans were no more noble. Paul came and preached in Berea. And the Bereans were more noble. They searched the scriptures to see if those things were so. Amen? If someone gives you a $10 bill and it's got a picture of Snoopy on it, and they say, well, this is a $10 bill. It says 10 right there on the corner. No, I can compare it to the real thing, can't I? Amen? I've looked at a lot of $10 bills. Haven't seen Snoopy on any of them yet. Not that the government wouldn't do that, but they haven't so far. So, no, I don't think that's a real $10 bill. Now, here's the thing. This is obvious, but we don't think about this. In order for the devil to deceive us, he needs to keep us or make us as ignorant as he can of the Bible. Or he needs to change the way we evaluate. And here, in other words, the devil will say to you, well, isn't that fellow, doesn't he sound so good? Wow, listen to his voice. He's such a good orator. His vocabulary is so big, and he tells such great stories. And surely a person that's that impressive, that's got a bunch of people following him and has an entourage, you know, surely Benny Hinn is good. I mean, look at the size of the audience. No, I don't care who they are, how big their audience is. I don't care what they've done. I don't care anything except do they agree with this book? Joseph Smith came along and the Mormons just jumped on that guy hook, line, and sinker. And he said all sorts of things that disagree with the Bible. A Mormon asked me one time, why do you always pick on the Mormons? Well, first of all, because I lived in Salt Lake City. That's a different matter. But I said, because you guys are such easy targets, because everything you say disagrees with the Bible. It's not hard at all to find things you teach that disagree with the Bible. I mean, it's just obvious that you're not teaching the Bible. And but anybody... any church, any religion, any teacher, any pastor, any priest, if just the very word priest tells you something's wrong, but anybody that disagrees with this book is a false teacher. Amen? Amen? And you and I will only be able to know that if we know this book. And so, by the way, you don't know this book by hearing about it 1 hour a week on Sundays. You know this book by spending time in it, reading it, memorizing it, studying it, quoting it, living it. That's when you know the book. So then when somebody tells me, oh, we're going to baptize a baby. Hey, wait a minute. I read my Bible. That doesn't happen. When somebody tells me, oh, we got a priest in our church. Hey, I read my Bible. There's no priests in churches. Amen. Somebody says, well, in our church, you know, it doesn't matter what sin you're committing. God loves everybody. No, my Bible says that when you're saved, you're different. Amen? It's easy, but how many false teachers are out there today? How many people, excuse me, have probably, not sure, but probably received Christ and then been deceived by a false teacher, and they're going to a church that's not preaching the truth, they're going to a church that's not practicing the Bible, but it sure feels good to go to the church, and so they get caught up in that. That's not surviving. Amen? All right, so I beat that one to death. Let's look at some other things here real quick. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. So the one example of the warnings in the Bible, number 4, is to avoid false teachers. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. Let's see. Brother Leo, can you read that nice and loud for me, please? chapter 2 and verse 3.
Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ.
So the Christian life must be an easy life, huh? Is that what it says? Hardness. What's something that's hard about being a Christian? Somebody tell me, what's hard about being a Christian? Linda. I can be at a, we go to the baseball game in Baltimore. I'm sitting there in the baseball game looking at the crowd of tens of thousands of people. And you're at the baseball game to enjoy yourself and hope your team wins in Baltimore. That doesn't happen very often. And maybe you'll catch a foul ball. My son did. But you're there at the game to enjoy yourself. And I'm looking around at tens of thousands of people thinking, almost all these people are going to go to hell. And it overshadows everything you do. Knowing the truth is hard. It's hard to forsake some things in the world. The world is trying to sell itself to you all the time, on the TV, on the radio, on the internet, in the magazines, all the pictures, the beautiful things, the big houses, and all those kind of things. And we have to forsake a lot of that, don't we? Now, God gives us some nice things. Compare your material possessions to those of some people in third world countries, and they'd think we're fabulously wealthy. But we don't live our life for wealth. We live our life for the Lord. Amen. That's hard. giving up some of the sins, giving up some of the things that are perfectly legitimate. For example, maybe God asked you to be a full-time Christian servant, and you had to give up a career to do it. Or giving up some time that you'd like to spend so you can serve the Lord. Had a lot of sacrificial service during vacation Bible school, and some people worked awful long, hard hours. They got up and worked all day, then they worked all evening too. And there's some hardness in the Christian walk. The persecution that you face, the rejection that you face. You try to help somebody, try to keep them out of hell, and they reject you. There's hardness in the Christian life, and if we're not careful, if we don't endure that hardness, we're going to fail. 2 Timothy 2:10. Brother Antonio, would you read that one for me real quick?
Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory.
Okay, the blank on the handout is pretty obvious. He endured all things. Whatever came along, he endured. But he had a reason. Because he wanted to get the gospel out. Amen? What ultimately happens when a Christian fails? The gospel doesn't go out. For example, someone says, you know, I just really don't have time to go to church. I'm too busy with other things. And you will decline spiritually if you drop out of church, won't you? I mean, in fact, that's a symptom of maybe something even bigger that happened right before that. But when you drop out of church, you're not awful likely to show up on Tuesday night for soul winning, are you? Or for that matter, you're not awfully likely to have tracts in your pocket because we keep those in the church foyer. And you're not going to have a spirit that wants to witness to people. I would remind you that your heart, your heart, as far as spiritually is concerned, can get diseased. I'm going to the doctor Tuesday. He's going to tell me if he thinks I have heart disease. I don't, by the way. But if you have a spiritually diseased heart, one of the first symptoms of a spiritual heart disease is no burden for the lost. Yeah. You just won't care if people are lost or saved. And spiritually, we ought to have a great burden for souls.
Amen.
So Paul endured all things because he did care. He wanted the gospel to get out, and he was willing to endure those things. All right, so I'm just jumping through 2 Timothy to show you these endurance verses. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5. Paul says, watch thou in all things. Whenever you see that word watch, usually you think of the guy staying up at night and he's on watch. He's not sleeping. He's looking for the enemy. That's the idea behind the word watch. It's to be alert. Aware of the danger. He says, watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Timothy was instructed to endure afflictions. Well, surely if you were going around helping out the churches and teaching the Bible, everybody would just take good care of you and there wouldn't ever be any hardship. Well, Paul said, Timothy, there's going to be afflictions, aren't there?
Amen.
By the way, we think we have it bad because our government is not so in favor of Christianity as it used to be. How would you like to live in Rome? They hated Christianity. Christianity was a pagan religion to them. And the Romans didn't want to have anything to do with it. So, obviously, there was affliction. By the way, even if everybody likes you, the devil would make sure to find some affliction for you somewhere. So we will have to endure affliction. And I don't think I need to define that word for you right now. Chapter 4 and verse 7. Paul says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. That's number 9. Christianity, living for the Lord is a fight. You're fighting the world, you're fighting the flesh, you're fighting the devil. And all the manifestations of those things. Just trying to reiterate how important it is that you need to remember you need to survive, that there are some things to be careful of. Okay, let's see. Number 8, I skipped over, I'm sorry. Chapter 4 and verse 3. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. What does it mean to endure sound doctrine? Why would you have to endure? The word sound means it's solid, it's sure, it's you know, if you had a house, you'd like to have a sound house. The wind won't blow it over. You know, it's sturdy, it's strong. Sound doctrine. True doctrine, Alan.
People just don't like to hear the truth.
Why not?
To them, they would rather hear a lie that makes them feel good other than hearing the truth, which they know they have to adhere to.
Okay. Donald? Pastor stands up in the church and he says, smoking is wicked. Why is smoking wicked? Because it destroys your body. And your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, and God gave you the body to take care of, not to destroy. And the world will tell you now. The world will tell you. Here's what's the funny thing is, back in the 60s, preachers were preaching against smoking. And in the South, especially where tobacco was a cash crop, that was not a popular message. What do you mean smoking is going to kill you? Well, we're making money selling tobacco. What are you doing preaching against us? Kind of like when Paul preached against the people making the statues of Diana. So anyway, in the 60s, that was all these pastors. They don't know what they're talking about. Now today, the world says smoking will kill you. But there's a difference in their message. The pastor said don't smoke because it dishonors God. The world says don't smoke because it's going to hurt your body and you're really important, and so they leave God out of it. But anyway, just an illustration. The idea is when you and I hear the truth, does it not sometimes convict us?
Yes.
Does it not sometimes tell us we're wrong?
Yes.
People don't like to hear that. So here's how you have a big church, and there's a lot of people doing this. Don't ever preach against anything. Just tell everybody you're wonderful people. God, stand up there. God loves you, and God wants what's best for you. And obviously, that's what you want too. And so just sit back and relax and let God make you real happy. And let's sing a couple of songs and go home. That is not what the Bible is all about. Now, all that is true. God loves you. Did God love Paul?
Yes.
Stoned, beaten, shipwrecked, left for dead. Did God love the Lord Jesus Christ? Crucified. Did God love Peter? Thrown in prison. Did God love Paul and Silas? Placed in stocks and beaten. Don't tell me that just because God loves you, that doesn't mean you're not going to endure some hardness. It's just the opposite. Paul and Silas said that they counted themselves honored, privileged, that's a paraphrase, because they were worthy to suffer shame for his name. And it wasn't until after that the Philippian jailer came in and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He had not just seen the doors opened, he had seen what Paul and Silas were all about. People need to see what we're about, that we're not just all about ourselves and getting everything we can and all the rest. So endure is the theme here. Now I got to get down to the end, so we got to move kind of quickly. Number 10, Paul was confident in Timothy's real, go back to chapter 1. It's unfeigned is the word there. What did he have? Unfeigned what? Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:5. I heard it once, somebody else. 2 Timothy 1:5. Unfeigned what?
Faith.
Can faith be faked? Oh, yeah. Anybody can say, oh, I have faith. You know, I can tell you, I can bench press 190 pounds. You know, so, Pastor, let's go to the gym. Because I'm not sure I believe you. And right now, I couldn't bench press 190 pounds. You can bench press 20. Amen. There you go. And, you know how you can tell if you have faith? When it doesn't break when it's tried.
Amen.
Right? So someone says, I have faith, and then the minute the faith is tried, it crumbles. Well, they need to get that faith built up a little bit more. So you can tell, the Bible says, by their works, or by their fruits, you'll know them. We walk in a dangerous world. 2 Timothy 1:7. We're instructed not to be afraid. Okay, he says this. Let me just read verse 8. He says, be not ashamed, okay? He says, be a partaker of his afflictions. And then I got to find my other spot there in verse 7. Yeah, be not afraid, okay? So not to be afraid, not to be ashamed, and not to avoid afflictions. How could you avoid affliction? You work in a job and all the people around you are lost. And they use foul language all day long and they play wicked music all day long. And you're afraid to make them angry with you, so you just don't say anything. Now, by the way, don't throw a fit about their music right off the bat. But what you can do is witness to them. I used to have a consulting job when I was in the ministry in Salt Lake City. I'd go into this warehouse. And when I went into the warehouse, they all knew I was a pastor. They'd just turn the music off. They wouldn't even have to have me ask because they knew who I was. Let folks know who you are. Amen?
Amen?
God doesn't need any undercover agents, all right? All right, so now, by the way, again, you've got the handout here. Here is your homework. Read 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 through 12, and answer the following questions. Paul was appointed to what three things? Why did Paul suffer? Paul said that even though he did suffer, he was not something. And then God has called us with a, and that's an easy one, certain kind of calling. Okay, I'll leave those with you. And we'll just remind you, if you need a copy of the handout and you didn't get one today, either see me or go onto my website. And on the website, if you go to bible.georgeschafer.com, you'll see a button that says Sunday School Lessons on Survival and all the handouts. Not the questionnaires, but all the handouts are in there. And we'll keep on going through this next week. Anybody got any questions? Practical or otherwise? Questions? Brother Gonzalez always has a good question. Brother Gonzalez, you got a good question today? Nope. Nope. Yes, ma'am.
On number 11, what were we supposed to avoid?
Not to avoid affliction. Yeah, what's the word in the Bible? I've got the verse out there on the side, but I did not. It says, yeah. He says, be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. And so we don't avoid the affliction. We partake of it. But the Lord delivered them out of them all. He'll deliver you. Amen? Well, what's the point of all of this? Why does God let us suffer? Why does God let us face affliction? Brother? Okay, that's one reason. Linda? Okay, somebody else? Alan? Okay, to make us more dependent on Him, Greg? Okay. Increase your faith, make you depend on God that much more. But also, folks, there's a reward. Amen?
Amen.
You go into the Army, and they've got some schools that are hard to get into. They've got a school for, they call it Ranger School. And it's a school that infantrymen can go to, and Ranger School is notoriously difficult. I had a friend that went, and He said one night they were standing out, and they get very little sleep. They march and walk and patrol, and then they have to stop and dig emplacements, and then finally they might get an hour's rest in a day or whatever. He said he saw a fellow walk up to a tree, and he was banging on the tree. It won't open. And they said, "What's the matter?" And he said, "I can't get the refrigerator to open. I want a Coke, and I can't get these banging on a tree." It's a hard school. The guys that finish the school get a patch. It's a little, it goes on your shoulder. It says Ranger. If you ever see one, they earned that. Amen? Listen, when we step into eternity, the rewards in eternity aren't just like sometimes we do in school. Every kid gets a reward. Eternity is not outcome-based. Eternity is you earned it. Amen? And then you give it to the Lord Jesus Christ because really he's the one that deserves it. Amen? So there's a reward. There is a reward. Let's stand and be dismissed in prayer. Thank you so much.